This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S., perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Luxe Cafe. Shop now.
It's Power Hour LSU.
PHL, extra little bit of swag, an extra little bit of taste.
Yeah. Man, I'm headed to the fair. Yeah. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get the power. It's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power. You were caught it, man, I'm headed to the field. Terror of the tiger, I'ma always keep it real. Every team gon' get devoured, it's the power, 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 power. LSU with Carter, it's the power, power, power. LSU with Carter, man, I'm headed to the field.
Huh? Folks, fall camp is here. Actual football will be played here in about a month. And this will probably be the last big recruiting show we do in quite some time because it was the Bayou Splash weekend. There was a lot of positives. There was also a lot of negatives. And obviously a player I've been asked a lot about is Jaime French. And it looks like it's Jaime French, but it actually is Jamie French, okay? This is a guy who's on the thumbnail image of the video. Five-star receiver out of Jacksonville, Florida. There are quite a few people that believe he'll still pick Texas. There are quite a few people, even though you don't see him on this RPM index, that Miami could be in the mix as well. Another player that was there this weekend that LSU did a really good job recruiting was Jakeem Thanos-Stewart. I just believe he's destined to play for LSU, right? A five-star, can't miss, one of the highest-ranked Louisiana prospects of all time. Is he a 2026 guy, or will he reclass to 2025? We'll never really know until it actually happens, but everyone is expecting him to pick LSU. He was there for Bayou Splash weekend, but I do want to actually start with an extremely positive story. And do that smoothly at all. LSU did get one commitment over the weekend. Jalen Chapman, a three-star offensive lineman from Warren Easton in New Orleans for the class of 2026. So this gives LSU their third 2026 prospect, as you can see here. They're right now the eighth-ranked class with only three players, and all of them are from New Orleans. Jakai Anderson, safety, Chapman, offensive line, and Richard Anderson on the defensive line, and more, obviously, on the way. So congrats to Brian Kelly landing this offensive lineman, and congrats to you guys, because I got to hang out with quite a few of you this weekend at the Shreveport Card Show. I really appreciate you guys coming through, hanging out, took photos, kissed babies. I really appreciate you guys when you come support an event that we do. And yeah, you know, we were buying, selling, trading cards all weekend. I love the hobby. We gave out, obviously, a crap ton of cards to the kiddos. I really do appreciate everyone that swung through our booth. And obviously, I can't wait for the next one. Now, Tony, Roger, Mick, it's spelled like Jaime. Right, there's a lot of, it's actually a name that is used in Spain quite a bit. It's spelled like that and pronounced like that, but Jamie is how you pronounce it, even though it's J-A-I-M-E with that R mixed in the French. It's two R's in French. So speaking of French, France, Olympics, go Team USA. I'm going to be talking to some Olympics a little bit later, as well as some other college football things. Now, this was very interesting. There was a prominent LSU reporter over the weekend that had a recruiting prediction of Jamichael Garrett going to Auburn. I don't care if a recruiting reporter is wrong about this kind of stuff. It's hard to predict this, okay? It's a big reason why I mostly stay out of the prediction game. You know, everybody was wrong about DJ Pickett the day before. Everyone thought he was going to pick Oregon. He picks up, ends up picking LSU. I do feel LSU feels pretty good about their linebacker, and this was a 2026 middle-tier four-star player. So I don't think, obviously, that's anything you should, you know, really sweat about. I'll be honest. I feel really good about LSU's linebackers, in particular if you believe a guy like Charles Ross is going to end up being a really good player, or if you believe, like I do, Xavier Debo Atkins will be a multiple-year starter. I feel really good about LSU's linebackers of the future, even though you don't have any committed for 2026. They're obviously doing fine in 2025 at that position. And look, you know, some things don't go your way in recruiting. Okay? Now, a little bit later, we are going to talk about the South Carolina Gamecocks tonight. LSU is in a very interesting recruiting battle with South Carolina. And look, there's so many different players to keep up with, and there's so many different players who were actually at the Bayou Bash this weekend. But look, I'll be honest, Jaden Breaker is his name. He is committed to South Carolina. He is out of Georgia. 220 middle linebacker. All right. There's so many guys that I can't even keep up with them, right? Unless you really do recruiting every single day, it's really, really hard to keep up with all these different players. So look, Carter, going to be honest, what does that mean for the rest of the time? I don't know. I don't know what you're referencing. But it's good to see you. American Patriot, good to see you as well. And I want to shout. I was going to do a special thing for him, but now I see him in here. The guy that gave me this hat hung out with me a good bit of the weekend, and his name is Tyler Townsend. I'll pull up my photo here with Tyler, and bang, there we go. Had a good time. Who can name the basketball jersey I'm wearing right there? But big thanks to Tyler. Thank you so much for coming to hang out and feeding me. He actually brought me some food as well. So I really, really appreciate that. So there you go. Now, why do I want to talk about South Carolina? Well, they're on the schedule. Not only on the schedule this year, but they're on the schedule for the next. Okay. One story I thought that was very interesting, and I won't go too deep into detail here, but as many of you know, Alabama is an absolutely positively recruiting juggernaut, and they are still that. They have done a really good job recruiting the class of 2025. They really have. You cannot deny all the five stars. You cannot deny all the five stars that they've landed. I mean, there's no other way around. That's what I had to say. I was like, eh, Alabama is still Alabama. I do want to point out, though, all right, a lot of you know I am a Hugh Freeze guy when it comes to being a football coach. Overall, not really my cup of tea off the field. I don't really think that's the case for a lot of you. Not just the fact that he's coached at Ole Miss and Auburn, but I think a lot of you know Hugh Freeze's story, okay? I will say, though, the guy is a good college football coach. And at Auburn, it is hard to recruit. Now, Auburn has historically been a pretty solid blue-chip ratio school. Not a top-10 recruiter, but always in that 10-ish to 15 range. Sometimes in the top 10, right? Never really in the top 5. But Auburn really did some work on the recruiting trail this weekend. So why is that relevant? Why would I bring this up? Well, you know, we don't play Auburn anymore. We don't. I am still a believer at Hugh Freeze at Auburn. And I think their quarterback situation this year is bad again with Peyton Thorne. But could you see a massive year 6 leap from Peyton Thorne? You can. You can. especially when you look at Cam Coleman, a wide receiver I think that's going to be immediately great. But Hugh Freeze has done a really good job recruiting the program. He's just good at that aspect of it. What I would also tell you as well is Auburn taking recruits from Alabama is a very good thing. Because we play out.
This holiday, deck their countertops with peppermint white chocolate mochas, gingerbread lattes, and pumpkin cream cold brews. Ninja Luxe Cafe is the ultimate gift. It's the number one best-selling espresso machine in the U.S. Perfect for the coffee lovers in your life. If they can dream it, they can brew it. No skills needed. Espresso balanced. Drip coffee, rich. Cold brew in a flash. Hands-free, silky microfoam. Dairy or plant-based milks. Bring joy into their holiday and every day after with Ninja Lux Cafe. Shop now.
Alabama the next two seasons and probably will continue to play Alabama in the future. Auburn is likely something that won't be on our schedule too much. At best, it'll be on our schedule every other year after these next 2 years. So Auburn really doesn't hurt LSU anymore unless you're going to see them in the playoff, and you're probably never going to have an LSU-Auburn SEC championship game. It's a minor win when Alabama loses recruits to Auburn. It's not a big win, but it is something, right? So that is a minor win for LSU. I wanted to include that in this opening statement. Now, overall, I gave you all the positives. All right? I spun a kid. I ended up picking Auburn over LSU, but he's a 2026 guy. No big deal. Also told you Bayou Bash, absolutely fantastic. Obviously, Bryce Underwood couldn't make it. But we now have to get into the negatives, right? There was no 2025 commit that that committed this weekend. No 2025 recruit that committed, at least that I know of, unless there's some kind of silent commit that we don't know about. Okay? What I would tell you, though, is the Jonah Williams thing was concerning. Now, the way I understand it, and once again, I'm very busy doing the card show this weekend, making an appearance there. I get it. I get it. But what I would tell you is I don't think it was a necessity to get him on campus. I really, really, really don't. But I still think there is power in being one of the last recruiting visits. Obviously, LSU is trying to make things work here with Jonah Williams. So, Jamie French, he is recruiting at the end of August, as is Jonah Williams. So there is still time to get something going along the lines of that. What I would say, though, as far as like the Jonah Williams story, so there was bad weather apparently, and he couldn't fly in and make it. So that's at least what we know, or at least what people say happened. Don't know the full story. Obviously, you guys know the day-to-day recruiting stuff is just not like my thing. If I'm like, did you go there or did you not? Because most recruits that go to LSU have good visits. Most recruits that go to any school have good visits. They do. But it would have been nice to have him on campus. And look, I believe Jonah Williams is committing on the 24th of August. The 24th of August for Jonah Williams and Jamie French, the 30th. I don't think it's the end of the world either. I don't think it's the end of the world either. So it sounds like I'm spinning it positively, all of this, because it is positive. I mean, every Bash recruiting weekend is positive for almost every single school. It's positive vibes. You're eating good food. You're getting the five-star treatment. You're getting chauffeured. You're staying in nice hotel rooms. You're getting to see, you know, all these crazy LSU state-of-the-art facilities. But no 2025 is committing today or this weekend. And no Jonah Williams on campus stinks. Now, as many of you know, I am a fan of Aiden Anding, all right? This has been, all right, it's Kate Phillips. This is Aiden Manning. This has been one of the most interesting recruitments of this crop. Three-star defensive back out of Ruston. Obviously, a few weeks ago, he was slated to announce his commitment. Many people thought that was going to be Texas. He backs out of it. Instead, he comes to LSU for the Bayou Bash. LSU side of things, they feel better about it. But obviously, we all got to get aligned. We all got to sell Aiden Manning on the future. And we also have to tell Aiden Manning, look, you're a three-star riser. Three-star riser defensive backs succeed at LSU. And then also, when you take a look at this, and obviously some of these guys didn't make it, but one other name that I thought was very interesting was Philip Wright. He's a guy that we've not talked a whole lot about. Obviously, Philip Wright. Destrehan High School. Okay? This is obviously the type of high school recruits that you want to target. Okay? Unbelievably fast wide receiver player. And he is committed to Michigan. Not the biggest guy, but elite speed. And you have another Destrehan player committed in the class in Jace Thomas. So I find him being a very interesting wide receiver. This would be the third wide receiver that LSU would have committed in this cycle. But I do think LSU, even if they don't get him, feels good about Derek Meadows, and they feel good about Teron Francis. So we'll see. Now, did the tight end Mike Turner commit? Well, I'll get Mike Turner, congressman. I do not know. It might be something that slipped on a radar. Like I said, I'll be honest. I don't know. Maybe you do know. Pegasus continues on with the same thing. It's so much recruiting stuff. I obviously had to read and make 1,000 phone calls when I got back from Shreveport today. So maybe that's something that's slipped through the cracks. I'll also tell you this. All right. This is something I highly recommend for everyone. I actually have to go to the dermatologist tomorrow. I woke up. There was like these. And I started seeing these. I thought it was just whatever. But before I went to Shreveport, I had like these little bumps. Like I've always had like kind of not like eczema, but like little bumps on my skin. But I had like these other bumps. So I gotta go to the dermatologist tomorrow. I don't know if I'm turning into a reptile. So I've been dealing with that. I feel great. Like I don't feel sick. I don't really feel tired. But I looked down, I was driving around, I was like, man, are these bumps on my arm? You can't really even see them. There's some on like my lips. But if there is a player that might have committed, I don't know. I might have missed. But to my knowledge, I did not see a 2025 commit. So maybe you guys know something. I don't know. And obviously, LSU already has a Michael Turner committed. But yeah, Pegasus, give me all the info there if you know. Now, I want to talk about the actual South Carolina Gamecocks because as we move closer to the season, we're doing some season previews. And what's very interesting about them and where they fall on the schedule this year for LSU, you get them in a really interesting time, right? This will be the only 11 a.m. game of the season. And look, that's the schedule I've been using. Let's actually get a schedule with the start times. So South Carolina will be the only 11 a.m. game that LSU plays all season long, which is crazy to think about. Okay. Now, okay, so Mike Tyler. Okay, I was like, that's random. So let's see. Maybe I'm. So he didn't commit. But many people feel, at least the On3 prediction machine feels, that he's going to go to LSU. So here he is. I've not watched him a bit. Mike Tyler, 3-star tight end out of South Carolina, 6'4", 220. So there you go. But you guys know, I will tell you up front, I've not really watched any of them. I've watched him, Philip Wright, though. Why? Obviously, I have a recruiting breakdown of Aiden Anding already recorded and uploaded. I'm just waiting for him to commit. But it's not official with Tyler. All right, because it's just not. I'm just being real with you. Now, once again, I want to talk about South Carolina and get into actual football. The simple truth is this, and I'll keep it a buck here. I like Shane Beamer more than most. You know, I think Shane Beamer, one thing people underrate with how their season went last year, their offensive line is terrible. It's been terrible. And they had pretty good quarterback play over the last 2 years with Spencer Rattler. Is he spectacular? No. Could he succeed with the Saints? Potentially. But did he play well, oftentimes versus the best opposition? Yeah. You know, I did a full film study of what he did versus Georgia last year in week two. It's pretty good. You know, he tore up Tennessee, tore up Clemson. So, you know, he's gone. And now you bring in Lenore Sellers, who can run. Spencer Rattler was a crafty runner, but he's not Lenore Sellers. I like South Carolina going into this next year. I don't love him. I do like the addition of Raheem Rocket Sanders. I do think a lot of people are expecting a lot out of Nicholas Harbor, who was this freak 5-star athlete, one of the fastest players you'll ever see at 6'4". Dude is absolutely an incredible athletic specimen. But South Carolina defensively, I know that they have had some major coaching issues on that side of the football. And I think we have a college football world where you will see coaches hold on to DCs 1 year too long. You do see that quite a bit. And I feel like Shane Beamer is going through that right now. And if I was a head football coach, I would definitely look at the warning signs and see if it really is worth it for me to keep a certain defensive coordinator an extra year. LSU could not have gone into the season with Matt House as their defensive coordinator. It really was that bad. And part of the only good thing about Matt House being as bad as he was is there was no light at all at the end of the tunnel. Okay? There was zero. Nothing. It was clear as day. Okay? So I think about that when it comes to potential South Carolina success. Now, you take a look at the schedule matrix, and I highly recommend before you go through any team schedule, do not just do the win-loss thing with every team when you're predicting the schedules. Part of what helps me over the last 2 years have an overall winning record picking over and unders is looking at it through a schedule matrix. Schedule matrixes are very underrated. And one thing you do see as far as South Carolina and where it lands on the schedule this next year for LSU is they do have a tricky road game at Kentucky the week before. Now, what is the likelihood that South Carolina wins that game versus Kentucky? I think it's pretty good. I really do think so. I think one of the more undertold stories in the SEC these last couple of seasons is the vitriol between Shane Beamer and Mark Stoops. They do not like each other. Obviously, both related to unreal Hall of Fame level coaches. Shane Beamer being the son of Frank Beamer. Mark Stoops being the brother of Bob Stoops. And they both have a point to prove. They both want to show the world that they themselves are elite coaches. Obviously, Shane's a little bit younger in the game. Mark Stoops, obviously a little bit older in the game. A lot of you know my feelings about Mark. A lot of you know my feelings about Shane. I like Shane a lot. Shane's beaten Kentucky the last two seasons. Right now, I understand that's a road game, tricky. Normally that game is a little bit later on the schedule. Instead, you get it week two. I think South Carolina can win that game, and they'll be coming into LSU potentially 2-0 with a lot of confidence. So the question you have to ask yourself before South Carolina plays LSU is, what is the most likely scenario for both of these schools? That they're 2-0 when they play each other, or that they're 1-1 before they play each other, or that one is 1-1 and the other is 2-0. LSU, of course, has a softer game versus Nichols before they play South Carolina. Either way, LSU does get a huge benefit. And I mean huge benefit, getting a warm-up game versus Nichols before having to travel to South Carolina, which is a very, very underrated place to play. And this would be South Carolina's only, or excuse me, their first home game of the season versus an SEC opposition. So I guess Pierce has the right answer. BK should try to beat South Carolina so bad that Nicholas Harbor transfers to us. I'd let him play D end and wide receiver. When I look at South Carolina's team, I think they're decent. I mean, just typical South Carolina team. I think Shane's a really good coach. I think Loggins is very interesting as an OC. But, man, I really like how that game sets up for LSU. I really do. And Jared Addison is not in the chat right now. But Jared has made this point, and it is a really good one. How big of an effect would it be for LSU to go from Vegas to Baton Rouge to South Carolina? I think it's not really that big of a deal at all. And once again, it is a shorter turnaround because you are playing the game on a Sunday, but Nicholas will be, Nichols will be a good enough warm-up game where LSU will run up the score and they will be ready to go before playing South Carolina. So, yeah, I mean, obviously, that Kentucky game is going to be very big for LSU for a few reasons. The first is South Carolina is definitely not going to empty the playbook versus Old Dominion. So most of your good film is going to come from that Kentucky game. And then the second thing that's going to be very interesting from, you know, an LSU vantage point is the fact that LSU will have the weaker game the week before. It's very, very, very interesting. So, South Carolina should be a fun game. Now, updating the poll question, Jamie French currently winning. The biggest splash 2025 visitor you would like to see commit. 15% of you say Aiden Anding. I like that. I would probably say Aiden Anding of those four, because this had been felt like an LSU lean for a few weeks. And I do think he is a little bit more plausible at this point for LSU to land. Plus, I am biased, as you guys know, towards a Louisiana three-star. I always will be. I'm not saying Anning's a better player than French. But still. Now, pick this up this weekend, just to give it out tonight.
First $25 super chat will get the sick on card autograph from number 25, Josh Reed. It's the first $25 super chat. It's going to you. It's going to be T. LSU's improvement on defense is vital for beating teams like South Carolina. You might be way more talented than them offensively, but defensively, you need to put them away early. Yeah, and look, Lenore Sellers can run. He can run. Now, he's very young and inexperienced, but he can run. Now, coming up next, one thing about LSU's schedule that I find to be very interesting. That's coming up right after this. Don't forget, we love all our friends at NOPOD. Anything home improvement related, you know what to do, baby. Home is where the heart is, and our friends at NOPOD Roofing really takes that to heart. 504-810-8744. Give them a call today for all of your roofing needs. And one of my favorite things about NOPOD Roofing is their versatility. They not only do roofing, they do siding, they do painting, they do tree removal, fencing, anything home improvement. Our friends at NOPOD will get you straight. Give them a call today at 504-810-8744 and let them know PHL and Carter the Power sent you. We never overpromise and always overdeliver with NOPOD, baby. Let's go.
I think joy and happiness and doing things you like is important.
My favorite thing is sports cards. When I'm not on YouTube, I am building my collection. And when I started, I wish there was a sports card strategy show.
He wasn't necessarily going to be a first round pick before all this Heisman buzz. Now they're talking about him being a top five pick.
Paul Hickey and the team at nooffseason.com personally helped build my Jaden Daniels collection, and they're looking to do the same for you. Just check them out on social media or nooffseason.com. All righty. Okay. I want you to ask yourself, you know, over the last couple of years, LSU has really faced a tough sequence of quarterbacks, right? I mean, you can just run through them. You know, I go back to, you know, obviously I'll always shout out Matt House for what he did versus Bryce Young. But, man, so many good ones, so many that, you know, got drafted and went on to do really good things. You take a look at LSU schedule now. Very interesting QB. So you have your draftable, experienced ones. Obviously, Jackson Dart is probably the best quarterback on LSU schedule this year. You have Connor Wigman, Texas A&M. Graham Mertz, Jalen Milrow. Then you also have some first-year starters. Oklahoma, Jackson Arnold, very interesting player. USC, also, like Garrett Nussmeier, like Jackson Arnold, a quarterback who only started in the bowl game, hasn't really played a whole lot in Miller Moss. You take a look at this, and I want you on a scale of 1 to 10. When you focus in on the Power 5 guys, Talen Green at Alabama, or excuse me, at Arkansas, first-year starter, on a scale of 1 to 10, 10 being the absolute hardest, 1 being not hard at all, rate the quarterbacks LSU will face this season. I was thinking about this on my drive back today. On a scale of 1 to 10, which quarterbacks am I fearful? And the more I thought about it, the more I started ranking it a little bit better than I initially thought. And so much of my offseason discussion with LSU has been, you know what? The schedule's isn't as hard as it normally has been. Okay. BT says, I'm giving it an 8. And that's about where I am. I would give it a 7.5 to 8. Because one thing that we tend to get wrong about quarterbacks is the ones who can truly run, and I mean truly run, give teams high floors. We normally call like dual threat quarterbacks high upside quarterbacks. And it is true. If you're like Jaden Daniels and you learn how to throw the football with precision like Jaden did his final year at LSU, you do become a very high upside quarterback. But notice, Jaden without really good precision passing was still very good, right? He was a high floor quarterback with his playmaking ability with his legs. And when you take a look at some of the quarterbacks like a Lenore Sellers and like a Talen Green at Arkansas, they're high floor quarterbacks. Are they going to make mistakes? Are they going to throw picks? Are they going to lose the game? Maybe. But the game at the collegiate level is so much easier if you have true rushing ability like those two do. Same thing is true with Jalen Milroe. I did a deep dive with Jalen Milroe on Power Hour SEC. I highly recommend you go check it out. And there were Alabama fans that were accusing me of calling Jalen Milroe bad. And I shared a lot of stuff that painted Jalen Milroe in a negative light. No, I was just saying he was overhyped. The likelihood that he's just bad is actually not very high at all because his rushing ability is so supreme. It's just, I don't believe in him as a thrower. I don't believe in him as a pocket passer. And he doesn't need to be good. I'm just talking about like a Heisman-level player. I just don't see it happening with Kalen DeBoer. But he gives Alabama such a high floor with this rushing ability. So the more I started looking into it, I was like, you know what? I do like LSU's schedule. I do think it shapes up nicely. I really do. But I started growing and talking myself into the quarterbacks that they face being a little bit better than I initially thought. All right. Let's go to Chance. He says, Connor Wakeman, when healthy, is really good. I agree. I think healthy Connor Wakeman is the best quarterback on LSU's schedule. I really do believe it. Obviously, Jackson Dart has done way more. He's done way more. And, yeah, he's probably the best quarterback on LSU's schedule because we do have, you know, proof of him succeeding in the offense. And unlike Connor Wakeman, he did return his best receiving option in Trey Harris and his best tight end in Kaden Priesthorn. But I also say this as far as the quarterbacks on this schedule. The reason why I can't really get to 8 and why I'm going to 7.5 is there is nobody on this list that I feel is like truly transcendent. There is just nobody. Okay. So, look. I'll be real. That excites me. Because there is no Jaden Daniels level player, at least that we don't know of right now, that will just bury you. Okay? I don't feel the Heisman Trophy winner will be a quarterback that's on LSU schedule. Okay. Okay. Larry goes, Milroe, Dart, Wigman, Moss, Arnold. Let's see. I'll go Wigman 1. Just to get spicy here. And then I'll go Dart 2. And then I'll go Milroe 3. Okay. Talen Green interests me, though. Okay. Talen Green very much interests me. Okay. Where are my Ethan Garbers, truthers at UCLA? Where are you? Stand up. Wigman remind you of Eli Manning? Okay. That's an interesting comp. I can get down with that. Get down on it. Yeah, Mick, we talked about that a little bit earlier. So there you go. Yeah, I was you gotta know when to hold them. Know when to fold them. You got to count your money. Oh, is the Master Blaster in here tonight? I thought I saw the Master Blaster. We say hi to Don, checking in from Little Rock. Underrated part of the SEC is the Argenta District in Little Rock. Love the Argenta District. Okay. The Missouri played Texas A&M last year. Just wondering if Baker will have a plan for Wigman. Okay. No, they did not. No, they did. But yeah, I think the SEC has a very wild quarterback crop this year. Let's see here. Let's see. You've gotten a few tweets here on Jalen Chapman. I tweeted something out that he did commit. But I don't know anything until I actually watch her. Let's go to S. Young. He says, I like the QB rankings, but a great OL makes a QB look great. That is true. And maybe, you know, when Garrett Nussmeier sees these QB lists, he could say, hey, how many of them have a better left and right tackle duo than mine? And the answer to that is no one. Right. And he would be correct. All right. Let me go to this. I thought that was interesting that Steve Kerr did not play Jason Tatum today. And he said, I'm just an idiot. Now, what I would like to ask you guys, and this is just me being as open as I possibly can, because I want to make the absolute best content here on PHO, and we do a lot of different things. We do live streams? Do you guys just like live streams? Do you like the pregame, halftime, and postgame show? What are some content ideas? And I wanted to get into this around the 45-minute mark. But I wanted to get into this. What are some things you want to see this year? All right, we're getting to the actual football portion of the season. What do you want to see? Do you want to see more film studies? Do you want me to do some film studies this week? Do you just want recruiting breakdowns? Some of you want me to stream the NCAA video game, college football video game more often. Now, my numbers say don't do more of that. I did it with my neighbors this weekend. A lot of you enjoyed it. I say a lot of you. It was a smaller group of you, not the same size audience I'm used to. But I am open. I am open. Let's go to Roy. All right, let's go to Spectrum first. More player interviews. So obviously, player interviews. And I'll be honest with you, Spectrum Wellcare. I love doing them. I really, really, really do. I love in-person interviews more often. That's why, I've traveled to do some of them. The issue with almost any interview that I do, the analytics shows me that the audience doesn't love them. I'm being dead serious. And I hate that. Hate that. Okay? Because I love interviewing people. But when I tell you, when I'm, thinking about guests and all of that, I really think about it. I really, really, really do think about it. Okay. But yeah, I would love Garrett Nussmeyer to be on the channel. I would. But whatever you guys want, please tell me in the comment section because I'm an open book. I do a wide variety of things. All right. Let's go to Roy. Carter, do you think LSU is going to start the season looking more like a Les Miles offense, running most of the time, running backs behind the most elite unit on the field, the offensive line? Okay. There are a few different things about running the football. One thing that you could pick and prod about the LSU team going into next year is designed running back runs have had mixed results during the Brian Kelly era, right? There are some games where LSU has been able to establish it and really run at people. Last year, the Missouri game was a good example of this. Ole Miss was a good example of this. Obviously, that's really good stuff, especially on the road. But you also had the aerial attack. Auburn was another game where LSU was really running the football with this running backs. But the issue with the running back run game is Jaden is hilariously elite at running. I really think you can make a case he is the best runner of the modern era at the quarterback position. Now, most would say Lamar Jackson. Some would say Vince Young. Jaden is absurdly good, though. He is in the Mount Rushmore, though, in that category. Okay? And one thing that, the analytics at the next level have shown is a lot of the best running backs in the NFL are guys that had really good seasons, were guys that were attached to dual threat quarterbacks. So some of the best running backs in the NFL were running backs that played with Lamar Jackson and Jalen Hurts. Okay. They had a lot of success. Now, why is that the case? Well, it's a zone read game, right? You as a defensive end can't crash and be as aggressive if there is a dual threat quarterback back there. You have to play on your heels a little bit more. Right. And it goes back to a crazy stat from a few years ago where outside of Texas, LSU was the best rushing team in college football at rush yards after contact. All right. Now, really think about that. 2 years ago, I mean, this was not the most prolific LSU offense. But why was that the case? It was Jaden Daniels. It's a lot easier to break tackles when defensive linemen and linebackers are on their heels. It's just harder. So that in and of itself is going to be so massive. You know, how are we going to be able to get some kind of running game without Jaden Daniels back there? I would like to think that we are going to be able to run football. All right. I do. But I do think there needs to be a few more creative ways of doing so. You know, in particular, the Texas A&M game, when we tried to run the football with our running backs, it looked as if A&M was really, and I mean really well keyed in when we would run the football with our running backs. Almost as if they knew the play. I mean, almost as if they were running the plays better than we were running them when we were handing the football off to the running backs. All right. And that is concerning. Now, their linebackers are really, really, really good, but still. Now, do I think LSU's run game is going to be good next year? I do. Do I think it's going to be elite? It could be. They obviously have the personnel to do so. The question also, as far as like not having Jaden back there and now having Gary Nussmeier back there and, you know, the actual rushing schemes themselves, for you to have an elite running game, do you have that dude back there at running back? Now, you don't need that to have an elite running game. You really don't. And LSU's running back room is really solid. I mean, really solid. As many of you know, I'm super high on Caden Durham. I think John Emery coming back as a year six adult. And then also having another year six guy in Josh Williams back there. And then obviously one of the most athletically gifted running backs we've ever seen at LSU, Caleb Jackson, going into year two, is back there as well. But are any of them elite? Well, you would like to think Caleb Jackson has the highest likelihood of getting to that tier next year. Got to remember, last year, I think he played through a little bit more banged upness, if that makes sense. And this was a year after he had a pretty big injury. So I don't think we've seen the best of Caleb Jackson yet. I think Caden Durham is, once again, he is my highest rated offensive player in the entire 2024 crop. But is there a guy back there that you will know for sure that has that real stud potential? And the more I think about it, the more I'm like, well, I think LSU is going to want Josh Williams to be on the field the most. If Caleb Jackson obviously emerges, that's not going to be the case. But I do think a big part of Joe Sloan is throwing the football still. And if you throw the football a lot, Josh probably gives you a little bit more as that shotgun running back there when they're throwing the football. Okay. So we'll see. We'll see. It's a really good question, Roy Ken. I mean, look, I'm not doubting the LSU running game at all. Not at all. I think it is going to be good, but it is something that will be interesting to see develop because it is just so different going from Jaden to Garrett. And I think it is a far bigger deal in the running game than it is in the throwing game. Okay. Now, Chan says he likes the Q&A shows like this. Yeah, I think this will always kind of be my bread and butter. You know, I like having my audience be a part of the show. Honestly, when I'm walking around, like because I work at home, I have to walk around like the neighborhood. Like I do once every other hour, I do a few laughs. Oftentimes, they're just like talking to myself about LSU football. Like I'm just going on random like rants and diatribes. But I think it's kind of boring if I'm just in here talking here. I like taking your questions while we're here because all of you are bright LSU football minds. All of you except Roy. Everyone, every else of you. let's go to Alan. Caleb on first and second down and Josh on third down would be great. Yeah, and look, I think a lot of the play calling sequencing is going to come down to what makes Garrett the most comfortable. Because if Garrett likes to go fast, well, you're not going to be subbing in running backs a whole lot. Okay. As Young says, these short passes to Caleb Jackson and Mason Taylor will be an extension of the running game, like to Clyde Edwards-Helaire and Thaddeus Moss in 2019. I included the Thaddeus Moss. Yeah, I think these short passes, like Caleb can definitely be a good receiver out of the backfield. I think a lot of the short passes are going to go to Josh, right? Because when you're thinking like screens and stuff like that, a lot of those will go to Caleb. But Josh, as far as like drop-offs and check-downs, more of those kind of targets will go to him. Obviously, a whole lot of it comes down to the snap count. Okay? So, yeah, I mean, you know, if I was a betting man, I would bet Josh is going to have more catches than Caleb, but we'll see. You know, I think it's just so wild that there are two year six running backs on LSU schedule. Two. Now, here's what you're going to do. And I know you guys can't see it, but I am itching all over my body right now with this skin condition. I'm going to the dermatologist early in the morning. So the next, you know, I know on Sundays we normally go later. I know in the next 10 to 15, I'm going to answer as many questions as we possibly can. If you do Super Chat, we'll keep it going. I'll keep going all night. It doesn't matter. I do not care. I do not care. But I want to be responsible, get a good night's sleep. I did read when you get like kind of like rashes, it could be from a lack of sleep. I have not been sleeping well for whatever reason. I guess I just kind of get nervous, you know, as we get closer to football season. You know, staying on schedule, what am I going to do, whatever. But we'll see. Now, I wanted to save this topic for the end, okay? Sure. Get to this. All right. Take a bath with cornstarch? Open up a can of corn and just bathe in corn? Or no, corn starch. What is corn? I know the term corn starch, but what the hell is starch? I don't know. I guess I'm just dumb. So Chan says, yes, take a bath and pour a can of corn in there. And Chan said, bring this up as well. Jay Johnson and Jonah Williams recruitment. It is a piece of it. It definitely is. Like, once again, I could more so speak on the football side of things, but Jonah Williams wants to play both. I think if you are serious about playing both, you're going to go to LSU. Brian Kelly is a very open-minded coach, and I think he and Jay Johnson could work really well together in his recruitment. Now, wanted to chat about this because this did break on Friday and we've not been live since then. So college football raised its roster limit to 105. All right. So roster limit is gone up. Okay. And it the scholarship counts were 84. All right. And by the way, Jordan, I actually don't have a dermatologist appointment. I'm just going to show up. What I was told at the dermatology place, if you get there early, we'll work you in. So now we're going to see how it goes. But college football, its numbers are growing, right? Pretty much every sport on campus got an increase in roster limits. And by roster limits, it's your total amount of scholarship guys that you can have on the team, or girls. Obviously, it just depends on the sport. So this right here is via Ross Dellinger. And Ross has been all over it. He's probably the best college reporter alive right now, to be honest. And we get to here, and obviously, you see football right there at the bottom gets growth from 85 to 105 scholarships with a 20 scholarship increase. All right. Now, how does this affect LSU? Do I think it's a good thing that LSU is gaining so many scholarships? And all these other college football schools are getting so many scholarships. I do and I don't. Once again, that's more opportunities for student athletes in theory to have college opportunities at the next level. And more of your walk-on kind of players can get a scholarship now. All right. Now, rosters being capped at 105 is interesting. So I think it's a good thing in that, like, you know, the walk-on type of player that's on your roster, they can get a scholarship now. Like, you don't have to, you know, not have them on the team anymore because you don't have that 86 scholarship. I also think with NIL and actual basically salaries coming to the players and this new rule about NIL deals over $600 really have to be vetted now through a few different sources with athletic programs and stuff, or the NCAA or whatever. I think it is interesting. I still don't think raising it from 85 to 105, it obviously opens you up to signing more players, but it's already hard enough with 85 scholarship guys for that full roster of 85 players to get decent playing time anyway. So, yes, the 20 more scholarships will help the more powerful schools. I still think, though, in terms of like you actually getting a chance to play, it is a little bit overkill. I don't think it's going to affect it as much because of that. Because once again, if you are, let's say you are a four-star recruit and you were a bust and you're going into year three at whichever school, well, if you're a four-star recruit and you're going into year three and you're not even close to the two deep, you're probably the 80th best player on the team, maybe. There's a lot of those kinds of guys. At all different kinds of schools. Okay? There are a lot of those kinds of guys. So, yes, it does give LSU and the powerful a lot more leeway in their recruiting decisions. But, as I always say, when it comes to competitive balance, when it comes to the quality of things, expansion, more often than not, is not a good thing. More often than not. And I do think when it comes, like, there's just going to be more 4 and 5 stars that just tag on to Alabama because, or LSU or whatever. It does make the powerful schools more powerful. It gives them more room to go out there and dominate. Okay. Okay. So the portal, I also think, will be more lit. And Bryce Underwood, oh, I definitely can't afford him. He has been a guest on PHL, though. So shout out to Bryce. Okay. I do think the biggest thing, though, and once again, I could be wrong. I could be totally wrong on that scholarship thing. Totally wrong. Maybe it is a bigger deal for the powerful. But I just don't think so because I think most football players just want to play. And 85 is already, I think, a high number for a quality football team. But I do believe, even though this was kind of rumored, it wasn't official yet, the biggest winner in the scholarship increase is baseball. All right? I understand tumbling for women. I'm happy that their old scholarship limit went from 14 to 55. Congrats to tumbling. And congrats to men's basketball. They got a 2-person scholarship increase. I think that's going to be massive. I really do think so. I think that's ginormous in men's basketball. But the only real sport, maybe outside of field hockey, men's fencing gets a 4.5 to 24 limit. Congrats to men's fencing. All the men's fencers out there are going to get the opportunities of the lifetime. Women's rugby goes from 12 to 65. I've not really looked at these others. I'm kind of just spitballing here. But the truth is, the only sport that really, really, really needed an increase was baseball. That is the only one. That is the only one where I can go to sleep at night and say, this is something that made my life better. And my life is better now. I really do mean it. This was something that made me lose sleep. Because it's not necessarily me feeling bad for college baseball players around the country. It's that it's stupid. I can't stand dumb in sports. And look, I love players. I love coaches. But nothing gets me more excited or angrier than bad structure. Okay? Humans are at fault. Players and coaches do dumb things. But what you cannot have is bad structure. All right? In college baseball for so long, had only 11.7 scholarships to go to a roster of baseball players. Hell, you start 10 baseball players every single game. 10. You have to start 10 for one game. And in every single baseball game, you are playing at least 11 for a 9-inning game. At least 11. We're not including all the other relievers, pinch runners. That number gets into, what, roughly 16 to 17 players in every single baseball game are going to play. And obviously, midweek games with more pitching changes, you're getting into the 20s. And if you want to have a full roster, to have an actual good baseball roster, at the bare minimum, you need 22, 23 good players, like playable players. And you only had 11.7 to go around for the whole roster. And that's total, not per year. It was the dumbest rule. The dumbest rule. And I think, I I'm super busy at this card show this weekend. I think Charlie Baker even retweeted me because I shouted him out. I was like, dude, that was an injustice. Honestly, I know that sounds hyperbole. It was an injustice. Now, I do not say this from an LSU vantage point because it does help LSU. I've spoken with Paul Manieri about this over a decade ago about how stupid this rule was. And, you know, it hurts LSU because LSU is willing to give 34 scholarships out. I guarantee you there's going to be a lot of schools that don't get close to that number, so you don't have to, you know, pay the scholarship or whatever. LSU, Arkansas, Florida, the big baseball schools that have big baseball budgets, Oklahoma, they're ready for this. They are ready for it. Okay. So big W this weekend for college baseball. Big W this weekend for LSU and the Power for College Baseball programs. Now, will this hurt baseball's competitive balance? It will. It will. Because when you only have 11.7 scholarships, your talent is going to not be as dispersed, right? That is a 200% increase in scholarships. So you, in theory, at LSU could have an LSU roster. And because you have so much more roster space and you recruit so much harder and you're willing to spend so much more in NIL and just scholarships, LSU could have an LSU-level team now and an Arkansas-level team now backing them up, or a Tennessee-level team backing them up. So it is going to make the baseball rosters deeper, and it does concern me because I do feel college baseball's wackiness and parity is really good. But, man, I'm telling you right now, I still think college baseball is going to be wacky because it's just the nature of the sport. I think you will still see a lot of upsets and whatnot. There might not be as many. We'll see what happens. But that's not an injustice, though. That's just the nature of the game. You cannot, under any good conscience, argue that 11.7 scholarships was a good thing for college baseball. You can't. And I'm a football first channel. All right. I have been bitching and moaning about this since I've started my sports media career. Since I've been at school, I'll talk about it all the time. So, one thing I was very passionate about, I'm glad college baseballs get to experience it. And if you are a college baseball player watching this, congratulations. You are a big winner. And I think of like a guy like Rafe Rimes, who gave up his scholarship at LSU for the sake of roster space. Now, we go to Pegasus. He says, players aren't going to want to be stashed, though. Most players want to play. So, I agree with you. But baseball, of course, you only get a few at-bats. But with all these games, I mean, there are some at-bats to go around, right? Like now, if you're LSU, you know, you could say, hey, there's a midweek going. Let's play our other, you know, perfect game, four-star, All-American shortstop today to give him some reps. So, yeah, I think there are some backup level players that would be more willing to sit the bench and wait their turn. T-Mill, what's good, man? T-Mill's always lighting up the Patreon, man. That man blesses. Josh Williams is going to be the 1K rusher. I like that. USC is like Megatron? What does that mean? D DJ Pizza. There he is.
They pull up the photo of me, Tyler, and DJ Pizza. There he is. DJ Pizza. Me and Tyler. Look at that. I love it. DJ Pizza. You're the man, bro. What a freaking weekend. You know what? That's insane. I saw it all weekend at the card show, man. Hey, dudes, the shoes, they've taken over. Doesn't matter how old or young. I mean, what the hell? I mean, dude, are we not a respectful society anymore? I guess I need to try Hey, Dudes. Hey, Dudes. Hey, Dude. At Hey, Dudes. Send me a pair. I want to rock them. Did Charlie Baker do it, or was it court mandated? I don't know. You might have me there. I will say, though, since Charlie Baker has been there, how many more dumb NCAA moments have there been? I'm serious. Like, how many? Lamar Brown says he will not be committing on November 1st. Okay. Really good to see you, man. All right. Well, I'm going to be a responsible adult and call it early. Hopefully, I do not look like a reptile on Tuesday night's live stream. I think I'm okay. Well, we'll see what happens. Once again, big shout out to our big supporters at NOPOD. Big shout out to nooffseason.com. And big shout out to each and every one of you. No super chats tonight. That's all good. And yeah,
we will be live again
Tuesday night, normal time, 8:15 Central.
It is Power
Hour,
LSU. Boom!
And tonight we are doing lemon pepper chicken wings. Let's go. Let's go.